The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Ekev. In Parashas Ekev, in Perech Ches Posuk Yud, the Torah is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Teva. In the previous Pesukim, starting from Pesuk Zayin, Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'acha El Eretz Tova, He will bring you to a good land, Eretz Nachle Moim, Ayones Usahemes Yeitzim Babiko Vahor. It will be a land of water, of streams, of wells, springs, which come out from the valley and from the mountain. Eretz Chitu Sa'orev Egefen Usayin Verimayin. It will be a land of wheat and barley, and the vine, and figs, and pomegranates, Erezei Shemen Uvosh. It will be a land of olives, which you'll get oil from, and a land full of honey, which will come from dates. Eretz Asher Levi B'miskenus Teichel Bo Lechem Leisech Sakol Bo. It will be a land which you will not eat your bread with difficulty, and nothing will be lacking. Eretz Asher Avoneo Varzel U'meharoreo Tach Tzev Nechoshes. It will be a land which the stones will be iron, and from the mountains you will hew out copper. Then in Pasuk Yud it states, V'ochal to v'savoto, you shall eat and you shall be satisfied. V'erachtos Hashem alakecho ala oretz ha'teva Hashem osan loch. And you shall bless the Lord your God on this good land which He has given to you. Now from this Pasuk, V'ochal to v'savoto, you shall eat and you shall be satisfied. V'erachto, and you shall bless the Lord your God on the land which He, on the good land which He has given to you. From there, we have the source of Birchas Hamazon, that one is obligated that when he eats, and if he eats enough, which can usually satisfy a person, then he's obligated in Birchas Hamazon, and what we refer to as benching. And even though it would seem it's referring to Dafke, to only eating from Eretz Yisrael, but the halacha is that even if you eat from foods outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're also obligated in Birchas Hamazon. You're also obligated in benching, but it must be from the items which are mentioned here. And that's why when we eat bread, and if it's made from wheat or barley, the major grains, then we're obligated in Birchas Hamazon. And if we eat from the fruits from Eretz Yisrael, the major fruits of Eretz Yisrael, even though they are grown in Chutz Loretz, we make a brocha achreina. Now, this brocha is from the very few brochas, which I mean HaTorah, that the Torah obligates. And there are many things that we learn from here. Firstly, we learn the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon, of benching. Secondly, this is a sheirish, a great source to the entire concept of broches. The Gemara learns out, the Chachomim, the sages learn from here to enact other broches. Thirdly, we learn the importance of lechem. What does it mean, a person's bread, a person's mozein? And we have spoken about this, these subjects, several times in the past. Tonight I would like to dwell on a different aspect, and that is that we also learn from here HaKoras HaTov, that one is obligated to recognize goodness that is done to him. Here we're referring to goodness which is done to him by HaKoras Baruch Hu, by the Almighty, to recognize it, to realize it, and to thank the Almighty, to appreciate it. And this is what is referred to as Lahakir es Hatov, HaKoras Hatov, to recognize and to appreciate goodness that is done to one from another. Now here we're referring to HaKoras Hatov, to HaKoras Baruch Hu. The Gemara brings in Masechet Brachos, Rav Mem Chesam at Beis, the Gemara says, Tone Rabbonim, The rabbis taught, Minayin lebirchas hamazon min haTorah? How do we know that birchas hamazon benchin were obligated from the Torah? Because it states, v'achalto, v'savoto, uverachto, that you shall eat, you should be satisfied, and you shall bless, you shall thank Hashem. Then the Gemara says, the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Seder Birchas Hamazon Kachi. The rabbis thought this is the Seder. This is the order to the Birchas Hamazon. Brocha Rishayna Birchas Hazon. First Brocha, in our benching, we make four Brochas. The first Brocha is called Birchas Hazon. Hazon is Hakol, in which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Mazon, for the nourishment which He has given us from this food. Shnia, Birchas Oretz. Second Brocha, which is Ala Oretz, V'Ala Mazon, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Eretz Yisrael. Shlishis, Beine Yushalayim. Third Brocha is we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yushalayim. And we say at Tfilah that He should rebuild Yerushalayim, since now we are in Golus, and Yerushalayim is not in its Shleimus, and it's in its completion. So that's Uvenei Yerushalayim, Baruch Ato Hashem, Beinei Yerushalayim. Fourth, Revi'ist, fourth Brocha, is Atov V'Hamitiv. That's where we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing good for us, to us and to others. So the first Brocha is on a person's bread, second Brocha is on Eretz Yisrael, third Brocha is on Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdosh, and the fourth Brocha is on Shaar Tevis, other goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to us and to others. U'b'Shabbos, and on Shabbos we add another Tefillah, Maskel B'Nechoma, U'Mesayim B'Nechoma, V'Eim HaKiddush Yisayim B'Emtza. Shabbos we add another Tefillah, which is Ritzeh. So these are the four Brochas. Then the Gemara brings, what is the source of these four brochas? The Torah merely tells us that we're obligated to bench. It says, you shall eat, you should be satisfied, and you should bless the Almighty. It does not say, though, the nusach ha-brocha, the exact words and the description of what the blessing should be. That was enacted from others. So where does that come from? And the Gemara learns out why these brochas that were obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on what we eat and on the land and on the Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdosh, because of what it says in this parsha, as it states, V'chalt v'savot v'irachtu es Hashem l'kecho ala oretz ha-tovo. See, the oretz refers to Eretz Yisrael and tovo refers to Yerushalayim. So we know what we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't know how that was enacted by previous great people. So the Gemara says, where does it come from? So the Gemara says, Omer of Nachman, Meisha tikein li Yisrael birchas azon b'shosh yorad lehem amon. Meisha is the one who wrote the first brocha in Benshin. When the mon came down in the midbar in the desert, so Meisha, then, he composed the first brocha. Yeshua tikin lahem birchas oretz, kishenichnas lo oretz. Yeshua, who led the people into Eretz Yisrael, so at the time when he came into Eretz Yisrael, he composed the second brocha. That was the birchas oretz, ala oretz ve'ala mazon. David ushleima tiknu beini Yerushalayim. David HaMelech and his son Shleima HaMelech, they composed the brocha of Beine Yerushalayim. David tikin al Yisrael al Amecho ve'al Yerushalayim Yirecho. David was the one who composed the part which said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of Yisrael Amecho, Yisrael his nation, and Yerushalayim Yirecho, and Yerushalayim his city. U'Shleima tikin al Abayis HaGodol ve'HaKadosh. And Shleima is the one who composed Abayis HaGodol ve'HaKadosh, referred to the Beis HaMikdosh. We see that each one composed the bracha which particularly related to that individual. Moshe was the one who led the people through the desert and fed them for 40 years. The Gemara brings it was through the schus of Moshe that the man came down in the desert 40 years. So he composed the bracha which was on bread. And Yeshua was the one who led the people into Eretz Yisrael and conquered the land and saw that they were settled. So he was the one who composed the bracha on Eretz Yisrael. And David was the one who settled Yerushalayim. So he composed the bracha on Yerushalayim. And Shlomo HaMelech was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. So he composed the second half of that bracha, which refers to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the first three brachas. Hateva HaMeitiv. Where does Hateva HaMeitiv come from, the fourth bracha? That was B'Yavne Tiknuha. That was composed in Yavne. And actually that has to do with a semi-holiday which we just celebrated this past week, Chamish Osar B'Av, on the 15th of Av. The Gemara brings that many good things happened on the 15th of Av, and one of those was that when the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and then they destroyed Beitar, there were literally a tremendous multitude of people that were killed. And the Romans, who were great Rishoyim, very ruthless people and brutal, so they would not allow the Jews to bury the dead. So the bodies just laid there. Finally, they agreed that the dead should be buried, and that was on the 15th of Av when they agreed to this. And this is one of the reasons why the 15th of Av, especially during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, was from the great Yom Tovim. On that day, Domer Masno Osa Hayom, to celebrate that day, Shenitno Harugi Beitar Lekfura, that the dead of Beitar were given permission to be buried, Tiknu B'Yavna Hateva Ametiv. So they were Mesakein, the Chachomim ordained in Yavna. Yavna was the capital of Torah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Zakkai, that, and they composed the Bracha Vateva Metiv. Vatev Shalei Hisrichu, it was a double goodness. One goodness was Shalei Hisrichu, that the bodies were not laying in shame. Vahametiv Shenitna Lekvura, and the second Tova, the second goodness is that now they would be allowed to bury them. Then the Gemara tells us, the Gemara says, Ein li ela lachrov. From this pasuk I know that you have to make a brocha after you eat. The fun of minayin. How do I know before? That you must make brochas before also. And here the Gemara is referring to the birchas azimun. That when we have 3 or 10 people eating, so we make a brocha before. But the Gemara before on the Flamed Hay asks the same question in regards to all brochas that we make before we partake from food. So how do we know? Because here in the Torah it explicitly states v'ochalto v'savoto v'erachto, that you should eat and then make the brocha. How do we know that you're also obligated to make brochas before you eat? Like we make a bracha before we take an apple, we make a beri pri or eitz. Or before we take a vegetable, we make a beri pri adoma. See, how do we know before? It says, v'ochalto v'savoto, you shall eat and be satisfied, and then uverachto. So the Gemara says, kal v'chemer. It's a kal v'chemer. It's a logic. Kishu sova mevore, kishu rov lekolshkin. If when a person is satisfied, and no longer does he need the food, the Torah commands that he should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he's hungry and he needs the food and he relies on this, how much more so should he bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But those brochas, even though they learn from a Kal V'Chemer, are only from the Rabbonim, from the sages. But these are Minat Torah. So here we have very abbreviated the sources and the explanations in the Birchas HaMazon. That the source that we're obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we eat, after we eat, that's in this pasuk, in this parsha. And we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the food we eat. That's the Birchas Azon. That's the first brocha. And then we make a second brocha where we bench HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alo Oretz on Eretz Yisrael. And when we're in Golos, we add Tfilas that Eretz Yisrael should be rebuilt, because it states Alo Oretz Ateva. And then there's a third brocha in which we mention Yerushalayim, and that we learn out from the fact that it says Hatova and the Beis HaMikdosh. And then there's a fourth brocha that the sages added later, Hatova Ametiv, when the Harugi Beitar, when those that were killed in Beitar were finally given permission to be buried, on the 15th of all, they added that brocha, Hatova Ametiv, which speaks of all other types of good things that happen to the person. And the exact composition of each brocha was written by the early sages, or the more than that, was written by the by Moshe and those after him, each one relating to their own particular role that they played in the history of Klal Yisrael. Moshe enacted the brocha on bread during the time of the Mon in the desert, and Yeshua composed the brocha on Eretz Yisrael when he conquered the land, and David composed the brocha on Yerushalayim when he settled Yerushalayim, and Shlema composed the brocha on the Beis HaMikdosh. Now what do we see, though, besides all of the halachos that can be learned out from here? What do we see in regards to this aspect, that a person has to be maketeva, that a person has to appreciate and recognize when something is given to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We see that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at every level. And this the Maral explains in his Nesi V'Avedo. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the physical level for bare necessities. A person has to have bread. If he doesn't have bread, he dies. So we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us something a little more, Eretz Yisrael, which is an additional gift, and that's at a higher level, we must also recognize this and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he gives us Yerushalayim, which is even more. That's not bare necessities. There are many nations in the world that live without Yerushalayim. They can't live without bread. You must also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us the Beis HaMikdash, which is the highest level, like we spoke on the Shir and Tisha B'Av. Then we must also explicitly thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then for other things that happened to us that didn't have to happen, Hatov V'Hametiv, we must also thank him. And if after everything we must thank him, so how much more so before we have it? This is what we see from the sugya. We see something else also, though. When must someone thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Once a year? Say, once a month? Like, for example, Rosh Hashanah comes once a year, Yom Kippur comes once a year, Reish Chodesh comes once a month, Shabbos comes once a week. When it comes to expressing appreciation for what we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when and how many times must we express it? You see, it's not once a year or once a month or once a week. It's not even once a day. It's tomid, all of the time. Al kol pam upam. Every time that we receive this, we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't bench once a month. Every time we eat, v'achalto, v'sevoto, v'erachto. You ate, you're satisfied, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You eat one time every day, you must bench one time every day. You eat twice, you must bench twice. You eat 10 times a day, you must bench 10 times. Or, if you partake from any type of physical pleasure during the day, you have to make a brocha. Mara speaks about being mevorach mea pamim. It brings it from David HaMelech to make 100 blessings a day. So we see this is not like Shabbos that's once a week, or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that's once a year, or Reish Chodesh that's once a month. This is tamid, bikfius, not in an incidental manner, but in a permanent manner, all of the time, and kol pam upam, every time it happens. So here is a very great source for us to learn how we are obligated in Hakoras HaTov to recognize when goodness is done to us, and to thank and to praise the source where this comes from. Now this quality of Hakoras HaTov, this quality brings anivus. This brings humility to the person. Why? Because the definition of appreciation is when you recognize that something is coming to you from someplace else. You recognize that something is coming to you, something is being given to you from someone else or from something else. Not from yourself, but from someone else, Zulose. And it didn't have to be given to you. He's not obligated to give to you. It's not like a debt that has to be repaid. It's not yours. It belongs to someone else. And it's being given to you by someone else. So the mitzvah of Hakoras HaTov is to recognize this. Recognize that what you're receiving is from someone else. And humble yourself to this fact and to thank him on it. And this is why, we've spoken in length of this in other times, this is why the word todah, which means thank you, and lehodos, which means to praise, and at the same time hodah, which means to admit and to bow, like modim, are all from the same source. It's all from the same source of one word. Todah, to thank someone. Lehodos, to praise someone. Or modim anachnu loch. I bow to you, or I admit to you. I subject myself to you. These are all from the same source of one word. Because to praise someone, to thank someone, is to be machnia, to humble oneself and to admit to the other person that there is something that I needed and you provided it. This is just opposite independence. See? This is dependence. This is an interdependence rather than independence. By nature, a person wants to be independent. Okay. Where I don't need anyone else and I don't need anything that anyone else has. But in reality, he's interdependent on other people. He needs. He needs and he receives all of the time. So to recognize this fact, that we're constantly taking, we are constantly receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are constantly relying on him. Not only that, the Gemara says even further, the Gemara says, Kol HaNashoma Tehalel Ko, that every soul should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Neshoma is the same word as Neshima, breath. I'll call Neshima or Neshima, that by rights we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on every breath, because every time we take in oxygen, we are receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by rights we must praise him on every breath. So to recognize this is a great humility. This is contrary to the strong, independent individual that needs no one else. Even for every breath he needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kal v'chaimer, how much more so for his lechem, for his bread, and how much more so for Eretz Yisrael, and Beis HaMikdash, and all of the other tovos. So it takes a power of humility to recognize that he is in constant need, and this is being provided by someone else, and therefore he must thank this one for it. So therefore, Hakoras HaTov and Hachno and humility are intertwined. What would be the contrary then? A person who does not have the quality of appreciation, does not have this quality. He doesn't recognize people do things for him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things for him, and he doesn't recognize it. And he's not interested in thanking people. This is intertwined with geus, see, with gaiva, with arrogance. The arrogant person is, I don't need, I stand alone, I'm strong enough to stand alone, I don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't need other people. And what I have achieved is not through the help of others. What I have achieved is through myself. We have a pasuk just later on where the Torah tells us, V'zochartes Hashem Elokecha ki hu ha'nesen lecha keach la'asus chayil. V'amarte bilvavecha keichi ve'itzim yodi yosani es ha'chayil hazeh. A person must be careful where he shouldn't say that I am the one that created all of this wealth. I'm a wealthy person. I have money, and I have herds of cattle, and I have land, and I have buildings. So I'm a wealthy, strong person, and it was my ingenious that achieved all of this. And I'm successful because I worked harder, and I'm more clever than other people. Keichi ve'etzim yodi. It was my strength that did all of this. See, this is the thinking of the one who has geus, see, of the arrogant. And this is the one, therefore, who refuses to recognize goodness that comes to him from other sources. So this is just the opposite. Therefore, a person must always be very careful when he has wealth and he's satisfied. Because as long as we don't have, then we're forced to realize we have to come on to other people. If a person is hungry and he has difficulty getting something to eat, he recognizes, the Gemara says, a poor man recognizes what the value of food is. Poor man recognizes what the value of money is. But the one who's wealthy and satisfied, so he forgets. And that's why immediately afterward, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it states, after it states, that you shall lead and you will be satisfied and you should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Yishom Elokecha. Guard yourselves. Be careful. Ken tishkach es Hashem Elokecha, lest you forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And levil tishmor mitzvaso v'mishpotov, and you will forget about his mitzvahs. Ken teichal v'savoto, you shall eat and you will be satisfied. And you'll have beautiful homes. And you'll have cattle and sheep and gold and silver and everything. Verom levavecho. Verom levavecho. And you will grow arrogant in your heart. Yishachachtas Hashem Elokecha. And you will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on this the Gemara says, firstly we see that sviyo, satisfaction, can be very dangerous. Wealth and satisfaction can bring a person to shikho, to where he forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person is hungry, he won't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he's full, he can bring himself to shikho. In many ways, sometimes it's better to be a little hungry than a little overstuffed. Because when we become a little overstuffed, we forget who's giving this all to us. So Gemara says, even though it's a brocha that you should eat and be satisfied, it's a dangerous situation. Yishar v'lecho, guard yourself, it's a dangerous situation. Because it can bring to v'shachachto. Then the Gemara says, it brings to gaiva, v'rom v'lecho. Gemara brings that from here, yahzora, prohibition, that a person is not allowed to be arrogant. It brings to arrogance. Western society is built on excess. Medical people are finding out now that the majority, if not all, of the major diseases that we have in the West come from excesses. And a great majority of our social ills come from excess. This is Bilchauta Vesavota. We ate and we're satisfied, and instead of being Verachto, to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize where it's coming from, was Ror Levolecha. We became arrogant. Keichi Veitzim Yodi. I am the one who did all of this. And I don't need anyone else. Vishochachto. And we forgot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we must constantly remember that HaKadosh Atev, to recognize and to thank, that's intertwined with Hanivus, with humility. to have a blind eye and not recognize where your source of goodness is coming, that's Geus, that's intertwined with Gaiva. That's the opposite of the Hakoras Atev of appreciation. And humility makes a person great. Just the opposite of what one might think. Humility makes a person great, and greatness makes a person small. Why? And this we've explained at length in other shulim. Because the humble person is a person who's a very broad person. He realizes that in his own success, he has to be together with all people. He becomes a all-encompassing person, a communal person. The arrogant person, who thinks he can stand alone, so he divides himself from everyone else. He separates himself from everyone else. So the humility makes a person grow, and gaiva makes a person shrink. These are some principles in Hakadosh Atov, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is constantly giving us goodness. Therefore, we must constantly recognize this, and we must constantly thank Him for this. Now, just as we are commanded that we must recognize goodness done to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this, we are also obligated to recognize goodness that come from us to us from other sources, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this. And this is a good opportunity to go into this, where we'll see that we're obligated to thank anyone and any source for goodness which is done to us. You have many people today that when it comes to davening, during the davening or during the benching is the time we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're very zealous, they're very frum. See? When it comes to saying a thank you to another person or to someone or something else that they received a teva from, this they feel this is not part of frumgat. This is not frum. We'll see, it's not like that. It was about a half a year ago, I believe, that we discussed this topic on in a Shabbos shir. And at that time, I quoted from a shir from the late Gaon Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the late Mir Rosh Yeshiva, who has a shir on this. He calls it Maimer HaKadosh Atev, which is in his Sefer. Maimer Lamed Beis. And I would like to quote many of the things that I'll be quoting now will be from that shir of his. Not everything, but many of the things. We find that the Torah places a great emphasis on HaKadosh Hatev, in particular, specifically, when it comes to an aksanya. Aksanya is someone who takes you in when you need a place. A person needs a place. He needs a place to eat, or he needs a place to sleep. He needs a place to lodge. He needs a sanctuary, even though it might be temporary. For a balabais who takes you in, we find that the Torah places a particular obligation, that one must recognize this and pay tribute to it. And not only do we find that the Torah places a particular obligation, we see that the Torah places a tremendous obligation. Yeah, tremendous. And that is, we have in Parshas Shmos, when Moshe ran away from Egypt, he killed the Egyptian. Moshe grew up in the palace of Paroi. He came out one day and he saw an Egyptian striking a Jew, an Ivri, a Hebrew. So he killed the Egyptian. He buried him. And someone told on him. So Moshe became a fugitive. He ran away. He came to the land of Midian. And by Midian is the story where he met the daughters of Yisro. And there were some shepherds that were bothering them, and Moshe saved them. And they went home and told their father. And their father said, tell him, Kirenale, call him and let him, Vayechalechem, let him eat bread with us. We'll give him a place to stay. And this for Moshe was a great thing, because Moshe was a fugitive. He needed a place to stay. So Moshe stayed there. Eventually he married Zipporah, the daughter of Yisro, and he lived in Yisro's house and he took care of his sheep. One day, he's leading the sheep through the desert. This is in Parsha Shmos in Perek Gimel. And he saw a bush burning. He went over to see what it was. It was a phenomena. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him from the bush. This is the first time, this starts the beginning of the most illustrious dialogue in the world. Because there was no one that had a dialogue like Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Porim El Ponim. Moshe was the only prophet, the only Novi, that was able to have such a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the beginning of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe from the burning bush, and our Chazal tell us for 7 days. For 7 days he was there trying to persuade Moshe to go back to Egypt, go to Paroi, tell Paroi to let my people go, and if he refuses to bring judgment to Paroi on the land, to lead the people out of Egypt and to bring them to Har Sinai, where they will receive the Torah. And Moshe had one reason after the other why he felt he shouldn't go. He felt that he was very humble, that it was not for him, that it was too big of a job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should choose someone greater. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected that. Then Moshe said, take Aaron. Aaron is the older brother. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected that. Finally, after 7 days of discussion and argument, and finally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was successful in persuading Moshe to go, so it states in Pasuk Yudches, Shmeis Dalet Pasuk Yudches, Vayelech Moshe veYoshev al Yeser Chesnei, Vayemelei Elchano veAshuv Elachai sheBemitzrayim. Moshe went and he returned to Yeser, to Yisro, and he told Yisro that I'm going back to Egypt. Vayemelei Yisro leMoshe lech leShalom. And Yisro told Moshe, go in peace. What does the Torah have to tell us this for? I mean, we realize that he didn't go right from the burning bush to Egypt. We realize he had to go home. He had to pack his things. And he had to make provisions. And we realize he must have gone home to say goodbye to his father-in-law and to part with him. So what does the Torah have to tell us this? So Rashi brings from the Chazal that he went back to Yisro Litol Rishus. He went back to Israel to get permission to leave. What does this mean? So the Medrash brings in Parshas Daled Os Beis B'shosh Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'choresh l'chacho el pare. At the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and I'll send you to pare. Oma le'eiri bein ha'ilom eni yochel. After all of the discussion, and finally, Moshe realized he was the one that had to go, Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's another problem. I cannot go. Mipnei shekibalni Yisrei, uposach li beisei. Because Yisrei opened his house to me. Vani imay kiben, and I am like him to a son. Umishu peseach pischei lechaveirei, nafshei chayev le. And someone who opens up a door to another man, you are obligated to that person with your life. So Moshe told Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't go. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Now we must get this in the proper perspective here. First of all, Moshe is not speaking to another friend. He's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, we're not telling Moshe, we're not asking Moshe to leave Midian and go to Mitzrayim because there are business opportunities there. Which, in which case, maybe Moshe would feel, no, I have to stay with Yisrael. Or we're not telling him to leave because there'll be other benefits there for him. He's telling Moshe that I have the most important mission in the world for you, to free Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim and to bring them to Har Sinai and to receive the Torah. We're not speaking here of one mitzvah. We're speaking here of 613 mitzvahs. We're not speaking here of saving one Jew. We're speaking here of saving the entire nation of Israel. We're not speaking of saving one Jew or one mitzvah for one time. But this is for eternity. There could not have been a more important mission in the entire world than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Moshe to do. And Moshe is giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu a story that I can't do it because I'm not allowed to leave Yisro's home. And Yisro, who was Yisro? He was a Midianite, he was a Goy. He wasn't even from the Zerah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So here we had the greatest cheshbon of mitzvahs, and you're even dealing with a Goy. Today, you find all, many, many times, see, a person transgresses and steps on what people would consider common decency and common behavior because of a cheshbon. Well, she's a no one, or he's a goy, or something else. Psh, I got something more important to do. It's a mitzvah. So it's a frumkeit already. It's a mitzvah. Here we're talking, and Moshe is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him for the most important mission that the world has ever known. And Moshe said, I can't go. Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings us here. Moshe saying, I can't go. You're right, he tells HaKadosh Baruch. You understand? You're 100% right. Klal Yisrael must be taken out of Egypt. Torah must be given to the world. And I'm the only one that can do it. You're 100% right. Or am I asking, what can I do? I'm not allowed to leave. Just because of all those reasons. So it becomes bottle all Derech Eretz in the world. Becomes bottle all HaKadosh Atev in the world. I can't do it. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He didn't shoot him down in a flash of fire. He said, you're right. You're right. So he told him, I have an Eitzah. If Yisrael will give you permission, then you'll be allowed to leave. Yisrael will give you permission, then you'll be allowed to leave. So he told him, go back and ask permission. Explain to Yisrael the importance of the mission. If he says no, then you can't do it. He's your balabos. But if he says yes, then do it. Adok siv lekach omar. Therefore it says, vayelech Moshe vayoshev al Yisrael chosnei. This is why the Torah writes the pasuk that Moshe went back and he returned to Yisrael chosnei. And Yisrael gave him permission. He said, Lech L'Shalom. Torah is not writing here, Lech L'Shalom, to tell us that Yisrael said goodbye to him. If the Torah would write, every time someone said goodbye to someone else, the Torah would be volumes and volumes. It's writing that he said, Lech L'Shalom, that Yisrael gave him permission, and that's why Moshe was allowed to go. This is what the Medrash brings. Then the Medrash says something else also. It brings V'chein, and so do we see by Eliyahu. It's an interesting, a very interesting principle. In the Tanakh, in Malachim, in the Tanakh, in the Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Eliyahu went into hiding. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go into hiding, his life was in danger. So he said, go and stay by a certain river, and the ravens will bring you food in the morning, and they'll bring you food in the evening, and you'll drink from the water. But there was a drought, and the river dried up. So Eliyahu had a problem. What's he going to do? Here his life was in danger, he was hiding. And now his source of Mosim dried up. So he said, Kum leich tzarfato, asher letzidon v'yeshavto shom. She should feed you. So Eliyahu went to Tzarfato, and he came, and there was a poor widow, and she was cutting wood. And Eliyahu said, can you give me a little water? She gave him some water. Then he said, can you give me a little bread? And she said that I swear to Hashem that we have no bread in the house. I only have a little flour and a little oil, and I have a little wood, and I'm going to make food now for myself and my son. So she said, I'll give you from it anyhow. You'll share it with us. What we'll eat tomorrow, we don't know. So Eliyahu said, don't worry. So Eliyahu took a little flour, and he made a miracle, because Kodesh Baruch Hu made a miracle, and from there she had plenty of oil and plenty of flour. He told her what to do, and they ate many days. Then as the days went on, the son of this woman became sick, very sick, and he died. And the woman came crying to Eliyahu. Eliyahu went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikra el Hashem vayomar, in Posechof, Hashem elakoy, hagam es ha'almono asher ani misgeira imay, hare osa lohomi sezbono. Eliyahu went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, the woman who has taken me in, are you going to kill her son? This is what he came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The woman who has taken me in, he says, the woman, the widow, asher ani misgeira imay, that has taken me in as an orach, are you going to kill her child? Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to Eliyahu, and he made a tremendous miracle where he was mechayem esim. He gave Eliyahu the power to bring a dead person back to life. So the Medrash says, on one basis, did Kodesh Baruch Hu here change the whole nature of the world? We know someone dies, you can't bring him back to life. Here Kodesh Baruch Hu did it. On one basis. So the Medrash said, Vayishma Hashem bekol Eliyahu. Hashem listened to Eliyahu's claim, Eliyahu's complaint. What was Eliyahu's complaint? Not that the boy died. People die every day, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring them back to life. What was Eliyahu's complaint? Hagam es ha'almono asher ani misgeira ima heiro'os lahomi sezbono. The widow that has taken me in, are you going to kill her son? Vayishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu. Hashem listened to the voice of Eliyahu. Because she took you in, and she did chesed to you, and you are living there, you have to
show appreciation. And therefore, I will give you the power to bring the son back to life. This is what the Medrash brings. So the Medrash here shows that when you're an Erech by someone, if you're a guest by someone, there you have to show tremendous appreciation. Like Moshe did to Yisro, that he wouldn't go on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mission without asking permission from Yisro. Or, like Eliyahu, that was his claim. Not that the son died. But how can you do this to the woman that has just done this to me, that has taken me in? And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to. Another source, in particular to an Achsanya, we have in, which we've quoted often, we have in a parsha coming up soon in Kiseitze. The Torah tells us at the end of Kiseitze, that it states that even though there are nations, towards the middle of Kiseitze, that even though there are nations that did you great harm, and therefore they should be rejected forever, but the Torah tells us in Devarim Chof Beis, in Devarim Chof Gimel, Pasuches, Leisisai Mitzri Kigero Yisro Be'altsoi, an Egyptian comes and wants to convert, wants to be a ger, so you let him convert, and Bonim Asher Yivoldu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yovel Lehem Mikal Hashem, and children that they have after three generations can marry into the central community of Hashem. Why? So Rashi brings the Gemara. Even though they became your arch enemies afterwards, and they killed your male children, but nevertheless, they opened their doors to you. When you needed a place, they opened the doors. When there was famine in the land and Yaakov came down, they put Yaakov and his family in Goshen and they treated him royally. And even though they didn't do this, the Gemara says in Baruches, that even though they didn't do this necessarily lishma, they didn't do this for Yaakov's sake. Because Paray took one look at the Bnei Yaakov and he saw how strong they were and he saw they could be good warriors and they could be good workmen. He was interested in them for himself, but nevertheless they opened their doors for you. And therefore forever this is remembered in the Torah. Now here we see other things also. Now first of all, we're not speaking about Jews here, we're speaking about Goyim. But secondly, we see that the Gemara brings that really it would be roi, really it would be befitting for you to reject them and to hate them, because they became your arch enemies. Paray and Egypt were meshabed you, they enslaved you for 400 years, they became your arch enemies. So what do we see? That not only must you appreciate someone who's good to you, but even someone who was once good to you but now is your arch enemy, you cannot forget that. And therefore if you want to do tshuva, an Egyptian comes and wants to do tshuva and wants to be Megayer, even though there are nations that are Kodesh Baruch Hu rejected forever, you must allow him to come into Klal Yisrael. So we see not only on a goodness from anyone that you must bow to and recognize him and show appreciation, but even if it was a goodness that was once happened and afterwards it turned sour, still you're obligated. On Shabbos we spoke, this past Shabbos, it was Shabbos Nachmu, so we gave a shir on the Gula, on the redemption. So we brought a Gemara at the end of Psochim. The Gemara brings there that when the Melech HaMashiach will reign, all of the nations will want to come and bring gifts and tribute to him. He'll be such a great king. So Egypt will come and want to bring tributes to him. So the Melech Mashiach will not be sure if he should accept the tribute. Why? Because there are arch enemies. Why should we accept? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take it from them. Because they were Aksanya Lehem Bishasat Chak. They became a sanctuary for you. So even though later on it turned sour, you must not forget that. Take it, accept it from them. That's what the Gemara brings. And the Maral says, Egypt represents all the lands which Klal Yisrael had a sanctuary in during the time of the Golos. This is very relevant. We've spoken many times on this. The Jews today in the Golos. This is why our Chazal always commanded us that when we are in the Golos, and if we are given a sanctuary, we must be made lezeh, we must thank the whole Shor v'Shor. Just like we said, appreciation is not once a month or once a year. B'chol Shor v'Shor, every time we receive this goodness, we must thank those that are giving it to us. And these that say, nah, you should know there's Ein Bei Ruach Teira in them. They don't have Ruach Teira. Because this is explicit, see, in the Teira and the Chazal. Another principle is we know if someone goes to great effort. Someone goes to great effort to do something good for you, so then almost everyone, will know that he has to show appreciation for it. Okay. But what happens if someone does something good for you, but it doesn't come with such great effort? It's easy for him. So then many will feel, look, it didn't mean that much to him. Came easy. I don't have to show such appreciation. So in this, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings a Gemara. The Gemara brings a Masechta Yevamos. The Gemara says, on Samer Gimel, Seif Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, Reb Chia have a commentary lay in the Visio. Reb Chia's wife was very difficult. She used to be very difficult to Reb Chia. Nevertheless, ki av mishkach midi tzayala v'tzudrei u'maisini lo. Nevertheless, whenever he would find something nice, he would wrap it up nice and bring it to her as a gift. Omalei Rav. Rav said to him, v'okum atzara lei lamar. Rav said to him, but she causes you so much difficulty, unjustified difficulty. Why do you do this? Omalei, he said, dayenu shimegadleis bonenu. It's sufficient that they rear our children and they save us from sin. That alone is sufficient that we have to show appreciation. So even though with all of her unjustified difficulties, nevertheless, she still rears my children and she saves me from sin. Therefore, I must show appreciation. Therefore, whenever he saw something nice, he would bring it to her as a gift. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks a very good order here. He says, to rear children, that's Mesiras Nefesh. That's giving one's life. See? This is from the Chet of Chava. Just like a man, al nafshe yovi lachmai, that he has to give his life to toil for his bread. A woman to bring up children, it's Mesiras Nefesh. To go through the whole pregnancy, and the childbirth and the child rearing and everything that goes with it, that's Mesiras Nefesh. But on the other hand, to save one from sin, the Gemara says, how does a wife save one from sin? So the Gemara brings that the great Tzaddikim, the Gemara in Tainus, brought by great Chosi, the great Tzaddik, they were very adamant that their wives should always be very presentable and beautiful to them. Why? In order shalayitein einov be ishacheres, in order that their eyes should not be diverted in a different direction. So how does a wife save a husband from sin? By constantly beautifying herself in the eyes of the husband. And then his eyes will not be diverted in other directions. This is what the Gemara brings. He says, for a woman to beautify herself in the eyes of her husband, he says, that's not so difficult. That's not Mesiras Nefesh. That's not what she has to give her life on that. Not only that, but the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave women is that's an enjoyment and a pleasure to them. So how did he equate the two in one statement? This is what he asks. How did he equate the two in one statement? He says, because they rear our children. They rear my children. Because they rear our children, and because they save us from sin, we are obligated to show appreciation. Well, how do you equate the two? One is a life of the most difficult hardships, and the other is a pleasure. So he says, from this Gemara we see a principle, that if a teva, if a goodness comes to you, if it comes through tremendous effort, he brings the example that the Rebbe Akiva told his Talmidim on Rochel, that all of our Torah, all of my Torah, and all of your Torah, you must show appreciation to Rachel, to her for it. All right, that we can understand, because for 24 years, she went impoverished, she went through great suffering. See? But here the Gemara wants to tell us that even when we receive a goodness from someone that comes to us without difficulty of the giver, we're not allowed to say, it didn't cost him anything. It was no sweat off his back. We are obligated to give the same appreciation. And just like we have to show appreciation that a whole life she goes through the suffering of bringing up children, we also have to show the appreciation shematzila shesonam in achet, that they save us from sin. Now actually we find this even further. We find that the Medrash brings even if someone does something to you, which he didn't even mean to do, and it comes out that it's a teva, it's something good, we find we're also have to recognize it. We have to recognize it and admit to it. Where do we see this? We mentioned before that Moshe ran away from the Egyptian. From Egypt. He killed the Egyptian and he ran away. And he came to the daughters of Yisro. And there was a fight. The shepherds were bothering the daughters. And Moshe saved them. So the Torah tells us that the daughters ran home to Yisro. And he asked them, why are you home so early today? Moshe was a gentleman. He drew all the water for them and gave drink to all of the sheep. So he asked, why are you home so early today? So it states, this is in Pasuk Yudches, Shmeis Beis, Pasuk Yudches, Vatavonu al Ruy al Avien veYom Amadu miHatem baYayim vaTemano, and they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu miYad HaRoim, an Egyptian man saved us from the hands of the shepherd. Of the shepherds. Began, and not only did he save us, he was a true gentleman. He even drew water for us and gave water to the sheep. That he didn't have to do. Now, the Chazal, it bothers the Chazal, this Pasuk. Why? It refers to Moshe as an Ish Mitzri. She said, Ish Mitzri. See, an Egyptian saved us. It wasn't an Egyptian, it was Moshe. All right, they thought it was an Egyptian, see? But still, to call Moshe, I mean Egyptian, and put that in the Torah, that bothers the Chazal. So the Chazal asked this question. So the simple pshat is they were mistaken. B'chi Mitzri haya Moshe. This is a medrash here on Parshas Aleph. Parshas Aleph. Os Lamites. So it says, the simple pshat is they were mistaken. Moshe was an aristocrat. He grew up in the house of Pare, so he was dressed as an Egyptian. So they mistook him. That's one pshat, but they're not satisfied with that. Still not right that the Torah should write in the Torah on Moshe, he was an Ish Mitzri. Davacha, another pshat. Ish Mitzri. They're not referring to Moshe. Moshe was not the one who saved us. It was the Egyptian that Moshe killed. He saved us. Why? An illustration. A man, was bit by a lizard. So he ran to the nearest river. He wanted to soak his foot where the lizard bit him. He wanted to soak his foot in the water. As he put his foot in the water, he saw a little boy who was drowning. Shalach yadu yitzile. He saved the boy. So the child started to thank the man, and he said, if not for you, I would have been dead. He said, Le ani hitzalticho. Eloho oruj shimesh hani. Uberachti emenu hu yitzilcho. He says, no. I didn't save you, the lizard saved you. Because if not for the lizard, you would have drowned. Because the lizard bit me, and I ran to the river, and I saw you, and I saved you, I'm not the one that saved you. It was because of the lizard you were saved. Kach, so was it here, Omer b'nei Yisrael Meisha. When Meisha did all of this to the daughters of Yisrael, so Yashe Kechacho, they came and they thanked him. She saltonim yadaroim, that you saved us from the shepherds. Omele and Meisha. Meisha said, Eisei sharakti hu yitzel eskam. I didn't save you. The Egyptian that I killed, he's the one who saved you. Because if it wouldn't have been for him, then I wouldn't have been here. Because I killed him, and now they're after me, and I had to run away, that's why it came out that you were saved. Lekach omravi and ish mitzri yitzilonu. That's why they came and they said to our father, it was an Egyptian that saved us, claimer. It was through him that we were saved. That's what it means, Ishmitri Tziloni. Through the Egyptian that this Ivri killed, we were saved. All right, good. But why does the Torah have to write this? Good. So it wasn't Maisha. Maisha was not the ultimate cause. The ultimate cause was the Egyptian that got killed. But why is it necessary to write this? Because it says in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Skar Shel Shum Beria. Everyone who does something good must be repaid for it. And it comes out that the Egyptian, by being killed, did something good. It was through his death that the daughters of Yisro were saved. And therefore we must recognize this. And the Torah is obligated to recognize it. And if it were right in the Torah that Moshe saved us, Yisro wanted to know what happened. If it were right in the Torah Moshe saved us and not make mention of the Egyptian, we would be closing our eyes to a goodness that was caused by the Egyptian. Therefore the Torah writes, Ish Mitzri Hitzilon. The Egyptian saved us. Now this is a goodness that comes to a person even without intent. Without any intent. He had no intent to save the daughters of Yisro. Just like the lizard had no intent to save the drowning child. So what do we see? That where any goodness that comes to us, we are obligated to recognize it and to thank the one for it. If it's with great labor, great intent, but even without intent. That's another principle. We also find that if someone does something good to you, and later on, let's say they deserve a punishment, and it's justified, it should not come from the person that received goodness from them. This is how far this quality goes. Where do we see this? In Parshas Matos, the Torah tells us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Nikol Nikmas Midyan. Midyan caused tremendous problems. They went and they tried to destroy you, and they drove you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were a cause of tens and tens of thousands of deaths. Go and revenge the nation of Midyan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them annihilated. Annihilate this nation. He told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe did not go. Instead, he sent Pinchas and he sent Elozar. He himself didn't go. So the Medrash asks, why didn't Moshe go? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. So the Medrash, this is in the Yalkut Shemini. So the Medrash answers, Moshe understood when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that he couldn't have meant him. Why? Because Moshe grew up in the land of Midian. Yisra lived in Midian. The land of Midian gave sanctuary to Moshe. So even though now Midian was deserving of annihilation, but it was not the din, it was not justice. It was not justified that the annihilation should come through Moshe. And therefore when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, go and revenge and annihilate Midian, he understood that he was supposed to command someone else to do it. And that's why he went and commanded Elozer the son of Aaron and Pinchas. Similar to this we find in the first three plagues of the ten plagues. That was when Moshe was commanded to strike the waters and turn it to blood. He was commanded to strike the earth and then to strike the waters and to bring frogs out, and then to strike the earth and bring kinim, lice out. The first three plagues that were given to Adam, not to Moshe. Why? Because it said it was not justice that Moshe should do it. Because the river saved Moshe when he was a child, the daughter of Pare concealed Moshe in the river, and the river was a sanctuary to him. And the earth also saved Moshe, because when he killed the Egyptian, he hid him in the sand. And if he would have been found immediately, that would have put Moshe into great danger. So because the water and the sand were good, did goodness to Moshe, it was not justified that Moshe should strike them. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to plague them. Even though it was justice that they should be plagued. So therefore it was given through Aaron. So here we see another principle. That even if something is to be stricken, but a dover roar should not come to even something that's deserving of that roar from a person that received the tova from it. That's how far as this quality goes. And then we go even a step further. We find that not only are we obligated to show appreciation. Now we started by showing appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not only are we obligated to show appreciation to fellow Jews, and not only are we obligated to show appreciation to all people, I feel la'akub, even to non-Jews like we see here, but we see we're even obligated to show appreciation even to creations which are not b'nei Odom, which are not people. We also have to recognize what they do good for us. And on this is a tremendous medrash. Medrash brings in Parshas Vayeshev Yaakov sends Yosef in Parshas Vayeshev. He sends Yosef to seek out the brethren. They were grazing the sheep in a distant place. He sent them out to see how they are. So it states, this is in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, Parshas Vayeshev, Posuk Yudalid. Vayem Eloi, lech no re'ei ashleim achecho, go out and see how your brothers are faring, if there is peace with your brothers, v'shleim hatzein, and if there is peace to the sheep, v'ashiveni dover, and then come back and tell me how everything is. But the Medrash says on that, in Parshas Vayeshev, the Medrash says in Parshas Vayeshev, Perek Pei Dalet, Posuk Eish Yud Gimel, Eshleimo Chichonicho. I understand why Yaakov asked Yosef to go seek out the peace of his brothers. Elamayv Eshleim Atzein. But what does it mean to seek the peace of the sheep? See if peace is with them. Hado amar she'odem tzorech lishol b'shleim dover she'yesh be'hanom imenu. From here we will learn that a person has to seek and ask about the peace of everything and every creature which he receives benefit from. That even if you receive benefit from an animal, you have to recognize it. And you have to seek the shalom. Now, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz makes a very good analogy here. In the same breath that Yaakov said, go and seek shleim achicha, the peace of your brethren, he said, v'shleim hatzon, the peace of the sheep. And the brethren, these are the Yud Bei Shvotim, these are the 12 tribes. In the same breath, he put them all together. So we see that not only when it comes to a person, but every creature. And this we also see from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let Moshe strike the dust or the river of Mitzrayim because it did good to him. But what's it got to do with the earth? It's Eitzim V'Avonim, these are sticks and stones. They have no feelings. And the Gemara brings from there, it's a Gemara Baba Kama, Haibira the Shosis Minei. If a person wants that benefit from a well of water, do not throw stones in it. Even if you don't need it anymore. Do not destroy the well. A creature that once did good for you, you're not allowed to do it harm. How do we know this? Maybe only a person that has feelings, that has seichel. So this we know, the Gorai brings the Raya, this is what we know from Moshe. That Moshe was commanded not to strike the river and not to strike the earth. It has no feelings. Even there, see, we must show our Koras Hatev. Now, the reason for that, the simple reason is in order to develop in our own self a recognition for everything good. But there's a deeper reason also. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted in the creation certain laws, just like certain physical laws and certain laws of nature he implanted, he also implanted certain laws of justice in the nature. And justice demands that anyone or anything that did something good for you, you cannot be mashalim ra tachas teva. You cannot return that goodness with an evil. Regardless if that goodness came from a person or a nation or from a stone, if it served you, you cannot return it with an evil. And that's why when it came to the striking of the river, then someone else had to do it. Okay? And that's why Yaakov said, you're going to greet your brothers, you have to wish peace also to the sheep. Okay? We have to recognize that also. Rav Putner, the Chaibelin Rosh Yeshiva, writes in a place, he was a person, he's the former Chaibelin Rosh Yeshiva Zichreinu Lebracha. He writes in a place, he was a person who had great opportunity to be with many Gedeli Torah, many greats of Torah. He was brought up in Poland, in Warsaw, so he was together with the Polish Gedeli. Then he studied in Litvishi Yeshivas in Slobodka. So he was together with the Litvishi Gedalim. Then he went with Hevron to Eretz Yisrael, so he was together with the Eretz Yisrael Gedalim. And he writes that through his association with the great giants of Torah, he saw always that if they would recognize in an individual, that this individual was a person that had no HaKoras HaTev. It's an individual that did not know what appreciation was, that would not recognize goodness that was done to him. This person in their eyes was a mufrach lekol, was a write-off. In their eyes he was a write-off. You can mention it. That was the attitude he saw from the Gedalim. That if they would come across an individual, this individual was a person that would take from others, and be then a benefit from others, and not have the sensitivity to appreciate it man to express his appreciation. He saw from their hanhoga, from their conduct, they wanted nothing to do with that person. Nothing. They didn't want him, they didn't want anything to, that was a write-off. Those kid mentioned it, that's not a person. That's how important this quality is. I've said this over, I just want to conclude with this, which we've said a few times, but it's, I think it should be said again, with a wonderful story. In Telz, in El Telz, there was a great Gaon by the name of Rav Moshe Bagamansky, from the great, great Gaonim. And when he used to visit Telz, he studied in Telz, and then he went away. And then from time to time, he'd come back through the city. When he used to visit Telz, he used to talk in Divrei Torah, the whole yeshiva would come to listen to him. He would always stay by a blacksmith, whose name was Itzi de Schmid, a blacksmith. Now this, you can imagine that in Lithuania, most people were poor. Telz was no exception. You can imagine what the financial status would be of a blacksmith. I heard it was a hovel, a very little dwelling, and he used to stay there. Now, I always wondered why such a gaon comes to the town of Telz. He should be staying by the great Rabbonim. Why is he staying by this blacksmith? And the fact is, I had heard that if the Telzer Rav would want to invite Rav Moshe Bagamansky over for a Suda or a Suda Shabbos, he would say, I will gladly come, but you have to ask the rishus from my balabas. The Telzer Rav might have had a telephone in those times, but Itzi de Schmid for sure didn't have. So the Telzer Rav would have to take his walking stick and walk through the, this is stories I heard, and walk over to the house of Itzi de Schmid and ask he and his wife, may I have permission for Rav Moshe Bagamansky to come for me for Shabbos? I couldn't understand this. Rabbi Avraham Chaim Lapin, Rabbi Lapin Sr., learned in Telz, and he was very close to this Rav Moshe Bagamansky, because Rav Moshe Bagamansky was sent to Telz by Rabbi Elia Lapin, which is the great uncle, the uncle of Rabbi Avraham Chaim Lapin. So I once asked him, he says, I'll tell you why. It's a good question, you're for Shalta, it's a good Shaila. He says, I'll tell you the answer. He says, Rav Moshe Bagamansky was not a healthy person. One time he was very sick, and when he was sick, Itzi the Schmid's wife nursed him back to health. And ever since then, whenever he would come back to Telz, he would always stay there, and he would stay no place else. And you can't imagine the tremendous requests or even pressures he had from Kol Gedei Eilam to come and stay by them. He would not stay there. He wouldn't tell anyone the reason, but Rabbi Avraham Chaim Lapin told me this is the reason. They nursed him back to health. He will never forget that. They became, and where's his source? His source is from this medrash. A person opens a house to you, the medrash says, Chayv le benafshei. You're indebted with your life. He will never, cheshbon that he could eat by the Rav's house, or he could eat here, or the food was better there, or this or that. This is nothing. A person opens your house, her house to you. And all of you would stay there. And if the Telzer Rav would ask him to come for a Suda, he would say yes, but only with reshus from the Balabos. You have to ask my Balabos. So this is how far this quality goes. Unfortunately, even tragically, see, we don't find it much today. In general, the Western world is spoiled, as we mentioned, with their excesses. We should say with our excesses. And everything we have, we think, is coming to us and finished. And tragically, even in the dati world, many times you see fruma people. When it comes to davening, they daven. When it comes to anhoga, to conduct between people, that have done something good for them, they're not interested in. And as I mentioned, this is totally contrary to Reah HaTorah, to what the Torah tells us. So therefore, we learn, you eat, you're satisfied, you must thank. When must you thank? Not one time a year, not one time a month, and not one time a day. Every time you eat, and every time you're satisfied, mevorech, you're chayiv to be mevorech. Every time, I'll call achila v'achila. And just like a person, every time he has benefit, he has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us that we must give thanks to everyone and everything that we have benefit from. I call pam v'pam, every time. Whether the benefit was through great effort, whether it was through little effort, whether it was through intent, not intent. See, it's all irrelevant. This is a very, very great source in Torah. We should be zecher to live up to these standards.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.